Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J Jeff here.
And this is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocco Cinco Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here. Now, subscribe and support
WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk and please subscribe now.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it.
Support Ollie.
Support Luke.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Because we talk about wrestling, and I like it.
Support WrestleTalk.
Go subscribe.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Luke Owen is, both the Ravens. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm El Fakador Laurie Blake and I am joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
Coming over from your SmackDown.
Oh, no.
Almost as if we're building to Survivor Series or something.
This used to be my show and now it's not.
Now it's my show.
Now it's you and Simon
down
normally.
To the king.
Yeah. But Simon's in Florida.
He is in Florida.
Having a good time.
Is he?
Well.
I feel like he's gone to basically a retirement home and is playing golf and...
So he's Trump, is what we're saying.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
He's just gone away to play some golf.
Helicoptered himself away to a golf course to play some golf.
That's great.
That's what Simon's like. Mm-hmm. I hear you've got an email.
I've got a couple, actually, yes. One from Bobby here,
mm-hmm.
Who says, "Hi, Pete and the rest of the gang. For some reason, I'm not on NXT podcast anymore, but I got two emails specifically about NXT stuff. So I was like, you know what? Let's read them on the NXT podcast because I'm on it this week. It says, "Hi, Pete and the rest of the gang. I just wanted to ask your thoughts on something I think has slipped under the radar. What has become of the NXT tag team division? I was thinking when a few podcasts back the question was posed which one of the era would lose their belt first, and I realized there's no one for Red Dragon to actually lose it to. All of the tag teams I can think of, War Raiders, Heavy Machinery, Street Profits, have gone up. Larkin and Birch have been beaten by them too many times to seem credible. The Colognes have been released. Have they? I suppose there's the Forgotten Sons, but they seem like more of a faction to make Ryker look strong to me. When I think how amazing the Dusty Rhodes tournament was, it's such a shame to see the tag division is in such a short space of time, pretty much dead. Thanks for all the great work you do, and special shout out to the Mod Mother, as she doesn't ever seem to get a thanks. Regards, Bobby Dempster." Well, thank you, Bobby, and yes, shout out to the Mod Mother, she's great. Yeah, I don't really know what's happened to NXT's tag division.
Like, they are putting over the Forgotten Sons, I think.
Yeah.
Mostly. But yeah, they are. I can see why you would think they were going to make Ryker look strong.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. I don't know why they like Ryker's like. I feel like Ryker should be the leader, and he's just always been like, he's the enforcer. And it's he looks like the leader too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Other than that, I feel like it might be Matt Riddle and Keith Lee.
Yes.
It might be. I think it's going to be some sort of conglomeration of people rather than a whole tag team. Because who was the other one they had that had the. What were they called? Oh, they appeared. They had a sort of Edge and Christian vibe. They weren't very good. You know, Luke knows who it is.
The lads from Canada.
Yeah, the Canadian lads who had old school trunks with the things. Luke's in the room, by the way. They had a fleur de lis on their tights. They were called something. I can't remember.
Canadians.
It was the Canucks. And it was fine. It was.
Yep.
I imagine there's going to be some sort of either people joining together to become a tag team, or maybe we'll see an influx of buying from WWE to get some people into mm-hmm. NXT. Or maybe they'll send some people back. You never know.
Maybe after Survivor Series is done, they have, you know, their priorities a bit more in order. Mm-hmm. Then they can go back to building up all the divisions at the same time.
Yeah, but that's clearly why they've been using the Undisputed Era in this way as well. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you can keep the tag belts up kind of out of the picture while you're still just doing the we've got all the gold storyline. Mm-hmm. But at some point you need to resolve that.
Yeah, exactly. So I genuinely, no idea who's going to beat him for it. But yeah, I think, yeah, it's probably going to be a Franken team. And I think either, yeah, Lee and Riddle, or what I'd really like to see is Lee and Dijakovic.
Yeah,
be a team.
I feel like they should. Great. Yeah, I feel like they could kind of rotate around each other. Maybe that's how they go back into their feud: is that they're a tag team mm-hmm. and they end up splitting up because they lose the belts.
And then once and for all, they need to find out who's the best.
Except forever, once and for all, they'll always once and for all, forever,
once,
forever,
for
once
all.
And once and forever, for all,
for all, forever. This one, we've got another email here from Ricardo, mm-hmm. who is actually talking about AEW, but hey. We can read it anyway. Hi, King Chopper Whopper. Hope you're well. So I've been thinking about how the AEW rankings and the Elite may change next year. Hear me out. Every last member of the Elite has gone out of their way to put others over. So much so that it's left many, myself included, clamoring to see them win. Kenny, the Bucks, and Cody have put everyone over this season. It's been great. So with the reset in January, could we see them flip the script when stats reset? Just wondering, sincerely, Ricardo. Yeah, I think that's totally possible.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, they've done a really good job in building up a load of new stars, people that, you know, were stars elsewhere that the AEW audience might not have been familiar with. Yep. I think they've done a really good job of being a little bit selfless in this sense and putting over a lot of other people. So now they might just be like, and now we win everything.
I think they are. Because they've obviously been building up the Inner Circle as this mm-hmm. really strong, dominant faction.
Yeah.
I think they're waiting for Marty.
Yes.
And when Marty arrives, mm-hmm. that's when the Elite reformed
yep.
as the whole cohesive unit mm-hmm. rises up against the Inner Circle and starts to fight back properly.
I think until then,
you might as well do. I think what they're doing is very smart.
Yeah,
they're using their star power to make all of the matches they've had against people much lower down the card, your Darby Allens, your Sammy Guevaras, mm-hmm. like look amazing.
Yes,
they've put over everyone so well that I think they've managed to make a roster that seemed pretty, unless you're like a really in deep indie wrestling scene, Ring of Honor fan, mm-hmm. some of their roster you weren't that fussed about, and they've managed to make people like Private Party look like the dog's bollocks.
Yep.
Just by having them constantly in these matches with talent that people pop for just hearing their name.
Mm-hmm. Exactly that, yeah. So, yeah, I think they've done the selfless bit now, and I think it would be much more well-received if the Elite start winning a lot.
Yeah.
Now that they've done the bit where they don't win as much.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's a smart move to wait for Marty. Some might call it Smarty.
Smarty.
Smarty mm-hmm. scale, maybe.
Smarties have the answer. Only Marty has the answer.
Thank you for your email, Ricardo.
Cool. Should we get into the main portion of the show where we're talking about NXT this week and it having the craziest invasion angle in a good long while? Here's the show. This, like I said, was basically the run-in edition of NXT. You couldn't move for
NXT hit and run.
You couldn't move for people wearing a little red t-shirt or a blue t-shirt or these weird fox hats that the SmackDown guys have now.
Yeah, it was strange.
It's quite corny.
Yeah.
Kairi Sane pulled off the Raw hat though, I thought.
She did look a little bit like Nikki Bella.
For a second I did go, Nikki Bella?
Is that Nikki Bella? Oh, okay, Kairi. It's fine. Okay.
But so yeah, the whole premise of this episode, I guess, was to sort of, I feel like most of the build to War Games has been dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
The last bit of sort of business on the table was, well, who's got the advantage in the men's match?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the main event, which was Adam Cole versus Dominik Dijakovic. The rest of the show was about stirring the pot to lead into Survivor Series. It wasn't really about like big face, like huge face-offs for that show specifically. It was more sort of this general feeling that the WWE wheels are about to come off, and the only thing that can happen now is Survivor Series has to come along, and that will finally settle all the differences between everyone, because Everyone gets a bit fighty in November, don't they? Everyone, oh, it's November!
I really love the brand just been drafted
to. It's the No Nut November thing. That's it. Everyone's really a bit hoity-toity. Yeah.
That's totally
just,
what it is. Mm, you know,
they've got
all
this tantric energy they need to release on each other. And release some of my tantric energy, because I loved this episode of
it
NXT.
Was a cracker.
It opens with Becky Lynch getting a Goldberg entrance from William Regal. It's your time, Mrs. Lynch.
Literally, the security guard standing there, I was like, Goldberg? Is that you?
Manberg. She comes out, she ends up, like, literally put straight into a dream match with Rhea Ripley, which was awesome. We got big brawls on the women's side of things as well, with, like, the whole of the SmackDown women's team, bar Sasha Banks, coming down. Most of the Raw team coming down as well, bar Charlotte Flair.
Yep.
Nikki Cross making sort of a homecoming huge attack with this
with a dustbin lid.
Classic, so Scottish. Got the Viking Raiders facing off against the Forgotten Sons in a match, but also backstage you got the Revival turning up with all the security to have a match with the Undisputed Era. You had the entire men's locker room from both SmackDown and Raw turning up for the finale, including Seth Rollins
and Zack Ryder.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot about Zack Ryder. Whoop, whoop. And yeah, like, it just felt like finally this kind of, I think the NXT invasion storyline that they cobbled together on SmackDown when everyone was stuck in Saudi Arabia felt like the beginning of something. And I feel the invasion after that has been quite tame.
It's been
little run-ins. Like, I thought NXT where the OC came down, but again, that was only like a couple of people and we had a glimpse of Bayley, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
This felt like, I don't know, like, it felt to me what a lead into Survivor Series should be. This felt like what a go-home show for that should be, because it was just complete chaos. There was a couple of finishes to matches. Like, there
Riddle got a win,
Ricochet.
Sort of. It was a roll-up.
Yeah, so nobody cared by that. Like, everyone was too busy going, like, what else?
There's people!
Yeah. And it just felt like, it's good that now you've had all the chaos and we're going to build to this. We've got this pay-per-view now to finally settle all the scores, but also to give some structure to the damn thing. It's like, there are rules, people, to how you have combat. And this is it. Like, this, I feel actually psyched for Survivor Series.
Me too.
Which I haven't been before.
Exactly. Right? And the thing is with Survivor Series is there's always going to be a kind of shallow reason why people are fighting. Brand supremacy is a bit of a wishy-washy term. Doesn't really mean much. There's just been a draft. People aren't really loyal to their brands. Mm-hmm. However, when it's done correctly on screen, it still makes you excited.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what NXT does. And it does really well with the first invasion that was very much, granted, it was a Vince show on SmackDown. He signed off on everything. But that was a Triple H show. Let's be real, that was a Triple H show. That first invasion angle with NXT turning up on SmackDown was beautiful. It was so, so good.
Triple H got to sign it off because he was like, I've got all these guys. And Vince was like, what do they do? And he was like, this thing. And he's like, I'm sure. I guess. Everyone else is gone.
I'm on a plane. So he'd sign off on that. And Triple H did. I'm a horse. I want a horse. He signs off the episode, and yes, it's fantastic. It's been mediocre since then, as we mentioned. This one, again, something that NXT just does so well, is it makes you care about things that you shouldn't care about. Because, like I said, this is a very superficial. That's the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. This is a superficial thing they're fighting over. And yet, at the end of this episode, I'm like, I care about brand supremacy now.
Yeah, it's November, like we said, it's sudden loyalty month, isn't it? Like, and the month before is suddenly everyone needs to settle something in a cell.
Yep.
It's like, God, the only way, I'm going to be happy is if we have this in a cell.
Yep, totally.
And it's that.
Or in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I think, is that WWE has an issue now where, because its pay-per-views are themed, that you end up where you suddenly have to turn this stuff on. Mm-hmm. And you can do that with pay-per-views if you do it right. And I think while I loved this episode of NXT, what I would have loved to have seen more, if say, in some imaginary world where WWE hadn't decided to put NXT in Survivor Series really late in the day, which was announced during Hell in a Cell, I think.
Crown Jewel.
Crown Jewel, yeah.
It would have been Crown Jewel,
yeah. So it was announced during Crown Jewel that was happening. And yeah, so that was a really late sort of decision from WWE to put NXT involved. And it's clearly about bumping the ratings for that program mm-hmm. as well. Imagine a world in which this was the plan all along. Imagine a world in which, you know, TBA wasn't written for all of NXT's teams in the Survivor Series matches.
Yeah.
And you could build a story around that doesn't just involve run-ins and that kind of stuff. And you can build these, you know, these face-offs have meaning because you know that, you know, for all, like, chances are Tommaso Ciampa is going to be the captain of Team NXT.
You'd think.
Because Adam Cole's already got a match.
Yeah.
So that face-off with Seth Rollins would mean more were we to know
yeah.
that Tommaso Ciampa mm-hmm. and Seth Rollins are going to be leading their teams against each other. Because then you could also, I don't know, have Roman Reigns slide in there and be like,
wouldn't that be nice?
Me dog.
Yeah. I think
the dog is here.
They're almost hampered by the fact that War Games is the night before.
Yeah.
Because they have to build to their own show and mm-hmm. also build to someone else's show at the yep. same time. So I think if they were going to be included in Survivor Series, I would have bumped War Games to
different week.
A different week or you know, next month or something like that. Just have it at a different time and have yep. Survivor Series be the focus of the whole thing. Have all the storylines like save off because it gets too... I think NXT have done a great job of balancing the storylines between War mm-hmm. Games and Survivor Series and making it feel like we're not aligning with you, but we're sort of aligning with you because we like NXT. And I feel like sometimes that gets really convoluted and stupid and sometimes people just drop storylines like that. I think NXT's been the best of the three brands that actually like still keep motivations coherent throughout yeah. it. I think they've done a pretty good job of it.
They've not been able to do any of the promos where they're like, I set aside our differences
yes.
for the good of the team because they're like, because the night before
exactly.
we have differences.
Exactly. So I think if they'd have just bumped War Games to December, mm-hmm. the night before TLC, let's say, instead. So then they had all of the focus on Survivor Series. They have all these weird alliances forming because they need to come together for brand supremacy. But then at Survivor Series, some stuff happens, which then causes storylines for War Games that happens at, you know, in December. I think that would have been better. Mm-hmm. However, NXT's done a very, very good job of building to both shows at the same time.
I think it's a very tough line to ride. It's incredibly hard because you want to go one way, like you want to build to the point like your rosters. The story of War Games is that the roster's coming apart.
Mm-hmm.
People hate each other so much that the only way to settle it is within a ridiculous match.
Yes.
Which is what they did with the women's division, having all these brawls and this complete undecided, nobody able to really decide who's going to go after Baszler, and then some people have to side with her and some people have to stand against her. That's great. But the next night, chances are a lot of those people are going to be on the same team.
Yes.
Unless they're just unless you know, what they do after that is, you know, if it's just going to be Mia Yim, Candice LeRae, Tegan Nox, Rhea Ripley,
Dakota Kai,
and that is, and you just go, well, it's the face team from NXT tonight, yeah. Or it's, you know, because it probably can't be Baszler's team unless you take two people, you take Baszler out and add someone else in and another person.
Yeah,
I don't know. Aaliyah, Vanessa Bourne.
Ooh, big plays. I mean,
we've got
Dana Brooke and Carmella yeah, on SmackDown.
That,
so...
that shows how thin the SmackDown roster is beyond Sasha yeah. Banks and Bayley, isn't it?
And Sarah Logan's big return on Team Raw.
Mm. Where
she hasn't been seen since what, Mania?
I think she was wearing a coat under a t-shirt as well on tonight's NXT, which I didn't quite understand. She looked like she was wearing four outfits. She looked like she was Chandler going to the airport. It was unbelievable. But I just think that it's what's great about this angle overall is that suddenly there wasn't any sort of fear of, like, there was no gun shyness on this invasion to just go, literally, like, here's a dream match to kick things off. Here's Ricochet's back. He's in a match within 5 seconds
mm-hmm.
with Matt Riddle, of all people, which is yeah. awesome. Here's Undisputed Era versus The Revival. I think everything else in the Survivor Series build-up has been like, you get one match, mm-hmm. and it's Adam Cole versus somebody.
Yes.
And then next week it's Adam Cole versus somebody. Because he's not involved in any of the Survivor Series stuff. I like the fact that NXT was just like, nah, like, just give people what they want and people yeah. go crazy.
And
people went crazy
yeah.
for everything except Seth Rollins.
Yeah, which is understandable.
They went crazy the other way.
Yeah, exactly. They went negatively crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing as well is they gave us stuff that we didn't know we wanted.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, did you know you wanted to see Drew McIntyre versus Keith Lee? Well, now you do.
Mm.
It was just stuff like that. They got all these stare-offs and moments in the match where you're like, oh, this is amazing. I didn't know I wanted this. And this is what makes a paper-thin reason for an invasion feel important.
Yep.
It's when you have these really fun moments, like these stare-offs that we got at the end of the show, that make you just go, no, this, yeah, I like this. Now this is really good now.
Yeah.
It's those kind of stare-offs and those kind of moments that make this feel important even when it isn't.
And I think the other interesting factor of it is that they carefully chose who was involved in all those moments. Mm-hmm. And I think the brilliance of it was every single person was like an older NXT person. Mm-hmm. So like every single person who slid into the ring and had a moment or turned up or did something big was like, oh yeah. I remember you.
Yeah.
I remember you. So the crowd were having this multi-layered, like, oh my God, I can't believe it's them. Oh my God, welcome back. Oh my God, I hate you because you're from Raw.
Exactly. You're not NXT, but you are NXT. I don't know what to feel.
And I think that's what's so interesting about this build-up is obviously it's the first time that NXT's really been included properly in the pool of brands. Like, it's always been the third brand, but at a tier below being a brand almost. Yes. And now it's been elevated to, we are actually a brand. Mm-hmm. So you have to put us, like, our colours on the thing.
Yep.
It's on the Survivor Series logo, so you have to include us.
No take-backsies.
Which means that we get access to some of your roster. When the OC came back and Bayley, it felt very sparing. Like, it felt almost like Raw and SmackDown were like,
we'll do you a favor.
We can send you this guy.
Yeah.
And then to this week just be like, no, we're opening the doors and everyone is in Florida.
Yes.
That's great. Even Simon Longdon is in Florida.
Like, that's true. He actually is.
He's actually on holiday in Florida right now. But yeah, like, it's nuts.
Yeah. It's actually insane. And it made me so excited for both War Games and Survivor Series. It's a perfect... That's exactly what you want from a go-home show. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely spectacular. Couldn't get any better.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So, invasion angle related, super chat. Matt Field says, daring to dream positively that NXT will go over at Survivor Series in numerous matches. WWE logic, though, will say, screw me for thinking that way. Laughing face emoji.
Yeah, I'd say NXT will be lucky if they win two matches at Survivor Series.
I think NXT is going to get one big win.
Yeah.
And that's the one that will be lauded. Mm-hmm. I think it's Baszler.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
I could potentially see like an upset in maybe the Survivor Series match itself,
mm-hmm.
on the men's side, as like Luke was saying in our predictions, that we filmed earlier, like saying maybe this is a star-making performance for Tommaso Ciampa.
That'd be cool.
And you suddenly just go like, well, we're just gonna make a star now who's mm-hmm. gonna carry this brand and be a name. And then if your goal is to make people watch NXT, mm-hmm. which I think its inclusion in Survivor Series is clearly demonstrating, then you need them to win something important because you need to give people a reason to watch it.
Yeah.
Because like they say over in AEW land, wins and losses do matter.
Yes.
And I think psychologically they do as well, because I don't want to watch a show full of losers.
Exactly.
And I'm, you know, as someone who likes NXT, I'm also sitting here going like, I don't want to see them all lose because it'll make me cross.
Exactly. And what I would hate is what happened at Survivor Series, can't remember what year it was. Mm. There's one with Triple H and Shane McMahon, when you had Shinsuke and Bobby Roode and all these like cool new NXT guys who had just been called up, and you're like, oh, they're so fresh, and they all got eliminated immediately.
They got down to like the old
cool crew. Yeah. That's just what I wanted. So I'm really hoping that NXT doesn't just get treated like that and they're just like, oh, you guys are here, cool, yeah, see you later, now it's about Raw and SmackDown.
It's silly because you know that WWE is capable of like clever moments like that. Like that Rumble mm-hmm. finish where it was Cena and Mysterio and
Orton, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Cena, Mysterio and Orton, and then Roman Reigns and
Roman,
I can't remember, Finn? No.
Shinsuke, because he's the one that won.
Shinsuke won. But they did that brilliant, like...
It was a 3-on-3 stare-off. Old guard, new guard.
There was old guard, new guard stare-off, and then there was a... When they got down to four, it was the flip of the stare-off. And it was just a really clever...
It was very smart,
bit of scripting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they could... That's what Survivor Series just gifts you, that.
Yeah.
But they don't do it.
No.
Canale Improbabile...
Nice.
I think. Involving NXT provides the most solid reason for a brand supremacy theme in years. NXT really, and kayfabe, wants to prove something to the main roster.
I think Survivor Series would have been better if it was main roster versus NXT, rather than Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT. I think that would have been a really solid reason mm-hmm. to have brand supremacy, to be like, you've overlooked us for years. We are actually better than you.
Yeah.
That would have made sense. I think if it's Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT, it gets a bit too convoluted.
I don't think they never really like, they form the teams for no reason in Survivor Series. And it's always just like, well, you're just fighting for your brand, but they never really give a reason why the brands care.
Mm.
And it should be like, NXT is like, well, we've had the best wrestling. We've had all these 5-star matches and we've had this takeover show that's, you know, blowing the roof off every venue we've mm-hmm. ever been in while you've been sucking the atmosphere out of stadiums for years. SmackDown goes, well, we've just signed the biggest deal in WWE history to go over here and put on this TV show on Friday nights on Fox.
Yeah.
And they could be sort of the egotistical heels in this scenario. Mm-hmm. And then Raw could be like, but we were the top dogs for years. We were the number one. Like, we were the longest running weekly TV show in history.
And
you could build that into this feud.
Why didn't they say any of that?
Because they can't. They haven't thought about it.
No, they really haven't.
About 4 weeks ago.
And also, I guess the people on it don't represent the brand fully, because people chop and change all the time. We just had a draft.
Well,
so
we only just got rid of a wild card.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, kind of...
Oh my God, he's from SmackDown Live!
What is he doing here?
Well, you invited him. NXT related, Wilson Simons, says, do you all think that Adam Cole versus whoever will be an NXT style match or main roster style? In other words, do you think Vince will let these guys go?
I'm optimistic for this match. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a full NXT-style match.
I think it'd be closer to Cole versus Bryan, which I didn't think was very NXT-style.
Exactly,
but it was a very good match.
It was a great match. I think it would be closer to, Cole Bryan is a good example, or I was thinking kind of AJ Finn from TLC, whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of style of match that's really, really good. It's not an NXT-style match, but it's one where they can truly showcase their talents and get both of them over, hopefully.
You never know, though, because it's a NXT match with NXT talent, and mm-hmm. Triple H is obviously going to be at the show and involved, they might just go, well, it's your match, you've got 10 minutes, book it.
Yeah.
You know. There's also the option that it's on the pre-show, and therefore doesn't
matter.
And therefore they can do whatever they want. They could just go out there and do the, you know, they're in the 205 live spot. But those matches killed it. Those matches are awesome.
They're great, but no one watches them because they're on the pre-show.
I know, but I would rather see a better match than... I personally would rather watch the match be the best it can be.
Yes, selfishly.
Because also I think it's going to be Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne.
Yeah, really, that's what I think as well.
I really want to see that match.
Selfishly, yes, I'd much rather watch a better match.
Mm-hmm.
The giving part of me was like, no, I want everyone to watch these people so then they get interested in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather they be on the main show, I think.
Okay, final one for now. Kevin says, I think Cole versus Dijak being a bit longer, Becky versus Rhea having a clean ending would have made this show amazing, but it was still really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk more about both those matches in a little bit. But yeah, I thought the ladder match was a little bit short. And I think I did call as soon as that match started between Becky and Rhea, I was like, there's no clean finish here. Shane's going to come out for interference.
Yeah, and I think with the ladder match, you have to also think that Cole is having... Cole's probably going to be on SmackDown because Survivor Series.
Ooh, maybe.
And he's got to do a War Games match and a championship match.
And a championship match.
So
yeah.
If he survives the weekend,
that'd be amazing.
After some of the bumps he took in the ladder match.
Survivor Series.
Yeah, that's the real test, mate.
Yeah.
Show opens, as we said, with Manberg being Manberg. Invited out by William Regal. He says, nice to have you back. She blanks him and walks straight
just
out.
Walks off, yeah.
She gets the biggest response.
Yep. Hero's welcome.
From coming back. It's a proper hero's welcome. It's the first time in 4 years that she's been there. She gets on the mic and she says, it's been a while since I walked down that ramp, since I sat in that corner defeated and you all sang my song. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since you've watched me kick someone's ass here live.
Yeah.
You have to wait very much longer. I liked this. I think it was also good to reference the fact that...
Easy now.
Calm it.
Hey, that's the Wrestle League trophy emoji trophy.
It's going to be mine soon. And it was nice to reference the fact that Becky's run in NXT wasn't actually...
It wasn't very good.
A glowing... Like, she wasn't really put over very much compared to the other horsewomen.
Never won the title.
Yeah, and so, like, her returning as the champ, as she says, is just... kind of fantastic. So then she basically calls out Shayna Baszler at the end of her promo, not before having a little pop at Bayley and saying she's crying on SmackDown with her old lady haircut, which is
good.
Mean on your friend, but yeah. Sure. So she gets Shayna's going to kill you chance when she mentions Shayna's name. And then Rhea Ripley's music hits. Rhea comes down, massive smile on her face. Rhea's going to kill you, Charles.
Yes.
People are very confident in the NXT women.
It's great. There was Shayna's going to kill you. Then they tried Becky. And then Rhea's going to kill you. And then they tried Becky again. It's like, they just love everyone.
They didn't really know what to do. They were just so hyped on the moment.
Yeah.
And also, I think the fact that like someone came back and that it wasn't Sasha and Bayley coming back with the belts and being like, we're going to come and defend these here. And then that never happening. Yeah. It was like, oh, no, I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing my gear, and therefore I will take off the belt,
and we'll
have a match.
Yeah, I thought this was great. The fact that it's not very often, as you say, that someone comes out and just be like, "I want to fight," and they go, "Okay, now," and then they fight.
Yeah,
it almost never happens because they normally go, "And that's the main event of the night," or it would be, yeah. "And they'll fight
after,
next
after
week."
20 minutes of talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was really, really great for them to just come out and just be like. And all she said was, so you're the man, let's see if you have a set of balls. And then they fought. Big thumbs up.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I also like the saying, like, I'm in your ring in your house. Bring out Mary and Jessica.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
That was great. I think Becky Lynch is a fantastic promo. Seeing her in front of the NXT crowd again just, I think, reiterates how over she is.
Reiterates.
But I think also, like, Becky Lynch has been in this the man role since WrestleMania, and maybe it's flagging a bit now in the sense that, like, she's just doing a lot
I mean,
of the same.
Technically, she's been the man since last SummerSlam.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, like, the actual, the champ then, right?
Okay,
the
yeah.
champ man.
Yeah, yeah,
the man
yeah.
champ.
The man champ.
The machamp.
The machamp, yeah.
She's been doing that for ages now, and I feel like it was kind of, I'd seen all the sort of permutations of it being surprising, and now here it was suddenly with a fresh opponent, and you know, it's not Lacey Evans.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah,
that's
so it's
exciting.
Always good.
And the match itself was really, really fun and really,
it
really
was
good.
Great.
So they started off with trading blows. Lynch hits a big crossbody. Ripley catches her in a baseball slide on the outside. Then electric chair drops her just face first onto the apron.
Bonk.
Which I thought was wicked. That put Rhea in control all the way through the break and back out. She was just chucking her around, basically. And then Becky picks up a reverse. She reverses like a big dump tackle thing into a DDT. Comes back with strikes. Rhea lifts her up. Drops her with a little bit of a struggle in sort of a powerbomb thing that she tried.
Yep.
Enziguri, big leg drop from Becky. Ripley kicks out. The crowd were basically, at this point,
going ballistic.
They were.
Everything was awesome.
And there wasn't even that much that was happening. It was just because they were so into both competitors. The crowd was just like, I love everything that they're doing. And then it got after that leg drop and went into the finishing sequence. There was a Lynch setting her up for the disarmer, and then Ripley rolled her up and did the power bomb thingy. Lynch countered that with an arm drag. There was a big superplex from Ripley as well. And would you look at that? It's time for Shayna Baszler.
Oh, you knew that was happening.
Of course it was happening, yeah. My first note of this match as soon as it was announced was going to have a wild guess. This won't end clean.
Oh, yeah.
Shayna Baszler and her and the horsewomen come out. They cause a double DQ. Lynch and Ripley then team up, take out Duke and Shafir and Baszler as well. And they all just go on the side. And Becky's holding her title up above Shayna and stuff. And obviously they're fighting at Survivor Series. Do you want to restart the match? You want to keep going now? You've got rid of Duke and Shafir? Just have Becky and Rhea go at it again? Have a winner?
Best not to.
Okay.
Rhea's going to be the champion pretty soon. So
I hope so. That'd be great.
You got to imagine she's next in line for
You'd
the
think
shot.
So, after
I think
War Games.
Depending if she wins War Games or not, I think she'll be next.
Oh, God, Ripley's going to win War Games. Oh, my predictions are bad. I can't predict War Games or Survivor Series.
They're very hard matches to predict. Yeah. We then see the Revival arrive. They get out of a big black SUV.
It was great.
Walk forward. A whole load of security there to make sure that these top guys don't do anything too mean.
I love that. I love that they've got security specifically for the Revival. The security do not stop anything else throughout the night.
They spent all the security. We need to put all the security on the Revival. And then Shinsuke slipped in. Cesaro's made it through the cordon. The security absolutely effed it up.
Oh, totally.
This evening. They fire that company.
Whoever they were.
Well, stop putting wrestlers in black tees and going security.
Security, it's totally.
When they got a little promo package hyping up Kaylee Ray, who was going to see action later that night. It's then said that Kona Reeves is going to take on Matt Riddle. Kona Reeves is already making his entrance, and then he just dies because Ricochet kicks his head off.
This is great camera work.
They hit Ricochet so well here. Like they were doing sort of following down the ramp and then going round to the left from the ramp. Kona Reeves is doing his poses and stuff. And then out of nowhere, Ricochet just comes flying through the frame and hits him with a drop kick.
It's like his foot just out from the side.
Which
it was
just
great.
Deletes Kona Reeves from a distance. Ricochet gets back in the ring and gets his welcome back chants, all that stuff.
Oh, it was a huge
And then Riddle's
pop for
music
him.
Just hits.
Yeah.
Riddle saunters down to the ring, as he is wont to do, flips off his flip-flops, and just goes like, all right, well, you then.
Yeah, I guess you. Sure, whatever. That's fine.
I just think this is a better way of doing an invasion, just being like, well, I was here for a match anyway, so you are better than Kona Reeves, so why don't we have that?
Yeah. It's great. This started off so hot. Yeah, I know. It started off so quick, and it just didn't stop. Mm-hmm. It's literally just like, here's a knee, here's an elbow, here's a released German suplex. Ricochet does a dive through the middle rope and still gets a rotation in for a dive.
He did a suicide dive with a roly poly.
With a roll in the middle of it.
He just decided, I'm going to do a roly poly.
How do you even do that? It was insane. There was a standing shooting star that got counted into a triangle. Mm-hmm. There was the big Broton sequence where he does the backflip and he misses that and then hits the Broton. There's a massive exploder suplex. There's a Northern Lights. And then he almost manages to do a deadlift spinning neck breaker thing. Doesn't quite manage it, but it looked cool anyway. There's a Phoenix splash that landed on his feet. There was the final flash. I'm just listing spots at this point, and this isn't half of anything that happened.
Yeah, well,
there was so much.
The Phoenix splash little sequence was amazing where he did a Phoenix splash, landed on his feet, rolled through. They started trading strikes. Riddle hits a final flash. Ricochet does a flip off of Riddle's arm.
Yep.
Then hits an enziguri, and then Riddle just bounces up from that and just dumps him on his head with a massive German suplex.
Literally, I've written here, he casually just effing throws Ricochet into the stratosphere with a German. He just, woo, off he goes. See you later, mate.
And that sort of seems like it's building up towards the end of the match. But Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura hop up on the apron. So I was like, oh, another double
finish.
DQ schmozziness. Yeah. Riddle then just gets a casual roll-up for three. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, Riddle wins. Yeah, boo, they're beating him down. Damn it.
this is what we always use Ricochet for.
Yeah.
Ricochet takes losses
and
looks good in it. So then, after Riddle picks up that very narrow win, Cesaro and Nakamura attack. Riddle fights back but eats a big European uppercut. Does a triangle. What's he do? He does like a sort of like Jericho drop kick, you know, the triangle drop kick. He does it with a knee, which sends Cesaro outside over the barricade.
Oh.
To which Ricochet just goes, I can make that.
He does a springboard crossbody from the ring over the barricade to the outside, and Cesaro's just like, I guess I will catch you.
I will catch.
Which is what you, I think, is what you employ Cesaro for, isn't it? Is
to be totally.
Cesaro, catch this whole man.
I can do that with one hand.
Listen, Cesaro, we're going to need to send you to Florida this week. Why have I got to go to Florida? We need you to catch a man.
We need you to catch a man.
Well, that's my job.
But then Roderick Strong comes out because it's left with Shinsuke in the ring.
Yeah.
And he stops Roderick Strong from hitting a Kinshasa onto Matt Riddle, which is partially like NXT and partially because he's facing Shinsuke at Survivor Series along with AJ Styles in a triple threat, which was really nice. And then, as thanks for saving him, Riddle kicks Roddy in the face.
Yep. Riddle kicks Roddy in the face. Balor runs out and attacks.
Mm.
Riddle fights back, pushing. He does this sort of like weird push-up thing with Balor, like he's doing like the kid's aeroplane thing, like being aeroplane.
Yeah.
Pushes him up. Balor hits the double stomp. He goes for the 1916, but gets reversed into a final flash, and Balor powders out of the ring holding his neck. And then Riddle and Balor have a face-off because they're facing at TakeOver.
Yes.
This was, a cool sort of sequence of... They managed to both simultaneously, again, build Survivor Series and TakeOver and finish a match that was really good.
Yeah, exactly.
It gave us something we hadn't seen. Gave us multiple returns to NXT as well. So there were three returns to NXT there.
Yep.
Cesaro's in NXT, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Three returns to NXT there, plus Finn Balor, plus builds the two separate matches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on two separate shows. In 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And also deleted Kona Reeves.
Which is even better.
Which Kona Reeves should be his new job. I think. Come to ring, take crazy bump from off screen. Ideally,
and go away
from Ricochet doing variations on that drop kick. I loved it. I thought this match was awesome.
I think it's so special how NXT can take a chaotic segment like that with so many individual people and still put the spotlight on the bits where you need to see it. So you go, you need to see Ricochet doing this dive to Cesaro. You need to see this relationship between Shinsuke Nakamura and Roderick Strong because they're having a match. That's really important. You need to see this bit between Finn Balor and Matt Riddle. And it gives each bit that you need to see time in a chaotic segment. You still get the full... You get all the individual segments you need to see around it.
And props to the commentators as well because they manage to tell the story as it unfolds really, really well.
Yes.
Like you got the whole picture from listening to those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Killian Dane has a promo package and it said that it's just hyping up the triple threat match for Survivor Series at War Games.
Damian Priest's voice is like chocolate and I want to hear an audiobook by him.
Yeah, that's true. So it was actually more of a promo package for everyone, but it started with Killian Dane banging on about his fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
We got the Undisputed Era warming up backstage. This was Kyle and Fish warming up while Cole was just wearing all of the belts and just going... You're beautiful, you're great, you're wonderful, you're amazing humans, I'm glad you're my friends.
Yes.
He was, generally speaking, just being a sort of positivity mantra for
them. He was great, yeah.
So then we then got the match of Undisputed Era, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly versus Scott Dawson, Dash Wilder, The Revival, making their return to NXT.
What a bloody match. I'm a sucker for tag team wrestling as it is, and this was a tag team wrestling clinic. This was amazing.
There was a point before the hot tag where I was like, I wasn't quite sold because I thought that actually the build to the hot tag was a little too long.
Yeah.
After the hot tag, I was like, this is the greatest match I've ever seen. It was unbelievable. And I would also like to say big props to Kyle O'Reilly for being the constant innovator because he did a little hop during his air guitar solo.
I know.
I was like, that's wicked. I was like, here comes the kick. Here comes the kick. A hop!
A hop! I popped for the hop. Not going to lie. Hashtag
He's the Jimi Hendrix of air guitar. He's amazing. So then the match started off building to this big hot tag of Dash Wilder tagging in Scott Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, though, Kyle O'Reilly does his little like ground game thing. And there was a point where, he gives a double-handed slap to Dawson. Dawson comes straight on with a big chop across him. And as he sort of falls down, Dash on the apron goes down on on his legs and does the Kyle O'Reilly pose.
Yes!
Gets this huge laugh from the crowd.
It was great, yeah.
I just thought the chemistry between these two teams was amazing.
It's almost as if they're very good professional wrestlers or something. They were so, so good. Well, this went through two ad breaks as well.
Fish and O'Reilly basically did the Mustache Mountain beatdown on Dash to build to the Dawson hot tag. I think that was that is the right way around, isn't
it? It was, yeah, to start with, yeah. Yeah, it was leading up to the Dawson
contact. In my head, I'm just like, they've got such similar names, I can't keep it. and it built to a point where it just went crazy from there. Like, there was an O'Connor roll, and as Dawson kicks out of that, Fish goes through the ropes, he gets a forearm from Dash, straight into this crazy high-angle brainbuster.
Oh!
That just looked...
amazing.
Like, brutal. It was unbelievable.
So good.
Revival also went for meat in the middle.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good. And then they did the save spot as well.
Callback as well. What a callback to DIY and the amazing matches that really put the Revival over in the NXT crowd's mind was the DIY Revival matches from way back when. Mm-hmm. And then they did DIY's finishing moves. It's a callback to be like, hey, DIY, those matches, this is why we're great.
But they had
brilliant spot.
But they had the callback of the saving as well. Because it's O'Reilly runs in and pushes Fish out of the way and then takes it himself. And it was just such a nice little like, oh yeah, by the way, this is NXT, guys, so we're going to do the proper stuff that you don't get to see elsewhere.
It's perfect. And even before that, Wilder making the tag to Dawson does a Hurricane Rana to get the tag to Dawson. Like, no flips, just fists. Excuse me, Mr. Wilder.
Son.
But it was amazing because you never see them do that. It was like they're pulling out all the stops to make this tag.
Yeah.
And I love the symmetry of Undisputed Era doing Revival's own game, because Revival always cut the ring in half and always prevent the tags. And that's what Revival do best. And it was Undisputed Era for the vast majority of the match were just cutting the ring in half and stopping the Revival doing what the Revival do.
But you got to see the Revival here playing the roles of kind of returning faces.
Absolutely, yeah.
And is the right booking for that kind of thing, because they didn't come out and they didn't give it the big I am, we're on SmackDown now, we're much better than here, we've forgotten all of our roots. They just came out and just did a match.
They're like, we don't like the Undisputed Era. They happen to be here. Mm-hmm. We want to fight them.
Exactly. There was a really... One moment that I thought was crazy was... they were on the top. They were fighting over the top rope. O'Reilly managed to kick Wilder onto the apron. And then as he went to get him, Wilder just goes, big DDT.
and
you're dead. You are dead.
It's great. There was a really nice sequence leading into a superplex from Dawson off the top, leading to a splash from Dash Wilder on the opposite corner immediately afterwards. Superplex, splash from Wilder. And I don't know whether this was intentional or not, but it looked amazing, because as Wilder was going through the air, he was flailing like a madman.
Yeah.
As he was going through it, he was like, oh, God!
I think he didn't jump as far as he hoped, and he was trying to swim.
And he was trying to, like, still get there. Whether that was intentional or not, it looked amazing, because it really felt like, this is something these guys don't normally do. This is something that they're not comfortable doing, but they're pulling out all the stops for this match against Undisputed
I thought what was
Era.
Crazy about that move as well was, like, he didn't wait.
No,
he didn't see. He didn't see him land.
No,
he'd already jumped before he'd landed, and was like, "Well,
I guess I'm
hoping
there.
You're there. please be there." I thought that was crazy. There was also the moment where they tried to go for the Doomsday Device.
Mm-hmm.
Fish drops out of the electric chair. He dumps Dash to the outside, and Dawson still jumps off the apron as if to do the sort of blockbuster part of it. And Fish goes to kick him, catches him sort of top of the leg. But eats a boot to the face.
Eats a boot to the face.
And gets cut open.
Yeah.
Which wasn't shown anywhere. Like, there was no close-up of it. You didn't, like... It was quite hard to actually... Like, you could kind of tell from all the wide angles.
Is there a mark on his nose, I think?
Like, I think he's got a broken nose.
Yeah.
I was like... I don't know if he's going to be cleared for War Games.
Mm-hmm.
Or for Survivor Series.
Series.
Like, and that was the point where, in my notes, I just write, and this is why you don't do this match before a pay-per-view. It's like, for all we've been saying about all the gun-shyness of the main roster guys in the build-up to sort of things like this, maybe there's a reason for it, maybe, because when you do crazy stuff, people tend to get hurt.
Yeah, possibly.
But this is kind of the apology match, though, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
Revival versus Undisputed Era is kind of NXT's way and WWE's way of going, well, sorry we took them out of the Survivor Series match, because everyone was going crazy for that match of Viking Raiders, Undisputed Era, Revival, because they were like, this is like the NXT dream match. And they went, no, that is too NXT.
Here's the New Day instead. Yeah, here's your pancakes.
Day. Well, we wanted to sell some unicorn horns when we got there, so.
Yeah, exactly. There's, leading on from that superplex splash bit, that Undisputed Era got back in control again. They were going for the total elimination, high-low, whatever they call it these days, I don't know. They were going for it, and then there was an amazing save from Wilder, pushes one out the way, and then immediately they transition into a shatter machine. I was like, God, what a spot. And then, but just as it looks like they're going to win, Kyle comes in and just manages to break up the pin. Oh, I genuinely bought that as a finish as well. Yeah. And I was like, oh, they've legit just beat the Undisputed Era. What the hell?
And this is what this is how it led into the finish, because O'Reilly dumps him into the ring post, and then O'Reilly does a double knee off the apron, which knocks him through into like the chairs and all the stuff, and he hits his head off the ring bell on the outside. So basically, like, Wilder, to all intents and purposes, is out of the match. Yeah. Fish has regained control inside, tags in O'Reilly, who does a big like knee drop thing to the back, which just looks honestly awful.
This is genuinely how amazing this match is, that a diving knee drop from the middle rope was bought as a finish to this match.
Yeah.
Because he did the diving knee drop and he rolled him over one or two and the crowd go, oh, and he kicked out. It was like, that's being bought as a finish.
Dawson sold it like his back was broken.
Exactly.
It was it was incredible. And then, so then they got to the big finish point and they surrounded Dawson in the ring. Mm-hmm. Wilder is still groggy on the outside, like barely standing up. Fish cuts him off brilliantly. So he stands right in front of Wilder so Dawson can't get to him. Mm-hmm. Dawson looks at both of them and just goes, kiss my ass. And then they do high-low, get the pin, 1, 2, 3. It's a done deal.
It's perfect.
What a match.
It was absolutely flawless. Like, what a match. And the ending as well, when he says, kiss my ass, and they hit that. Dash Wilder's just on the outside, one arm, just trying to catch in the ring because he just wants to save him, but he can't make it. I was like, oh my God, guys!
Yeah.
You can't make me this emotional about a random tag match on NXT.
And that's the thing, it's a random tag match to build to a show that's had no build.
Yeah.
Really. And it was, they just went out there and they just laid it all on the line and put on an incredible show. And they were given time. And
yeah,
clearly.
Loads of time.
What the Revival have been banging on about this entire time about tag team wrestling is bloody true.
Yeah, because tag team wrestling is awesome.
When it's done well, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And this just proves that those two guys should be given more time and they should be given higher quality opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can tell a story in a tag match. And while, it started off with this, I was a bit, I'm not sold really on the hot tag thing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, it's another hot tag, which is Tag Team Wrestling 101.
Yeah.
They turned it into something completely different after that point, and suddenly you were like, well, this whole world of possibility has now opened up. And that is what NXT tag matches have done traditionally.
Totally.
And especially the Revival have done. It's so interesting. Like you said, it's interesting to see them be on the flip side of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, like
it breaks the mold of their story, which is they do this to other people.
Yeah.
Really good match. You should go out of your way to see that.
Genuinely.
We then see the Viking Raiders backstage having a showdown with the Forgotten Sons and being held off by like 3 security guards.
Did they do anything? I mean, they were kind of still brawling, right?
Yeah, they were.
So I don't think security really
helped.
They were
sort of pushing each other and trying to get at each other, and security were just getting in the way. So it was like, again, not really a good promo package for this security service
that
he's been using. We then got a video for the Women's War Games match, which was really, really good. I especially liked Io Shirai just shouting, blah, 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 War Games!
War Games, yeah.
Which was awesome.
I saw I don't know whether this was a cell phone promo or something that was on Twitter. It was, I just randomly saw it on Twitter where Io Shirai just said something in Japanese. She was with Bianca Belair. She was saying, she was, doing a promo in Japanese or whatever. And then Io finishes her thing in Japanese, walks away. Bianca just turns to the camera and goes, she said what she said, and then walks off. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I don't know what that was from, but Bianca Belair
and the
Io
Shirai team, they should be together.
So good.
We then get Kaylee Ray versus Dakota Kai. Kaylee Ray, the NXT UK Women's Champion. They start off pretty hot. It was like an immediate reversal from Kai, because Ray went straight for her Kaylee Ray Dakota cut. There's a lot of syllables.
KLR.
There's a lot
let's
of
say that.
KLR goes KLR. For the gory bomb on DK.
Oh, God, don't do DK. That gets even worse.
But DK reversed it into like a little sunset flip power bomb and kind of comes straight after her. But then it became basically about Ray being down Kai for the majority of the match.
Pretty much.
It wasn't the world's greatest match.
No.
From either.
I think it was mainly there just to say, this is who Kaylee Ray is. Mm-hmm. She's going to be at War Games. So just so you know who she is.
Yeah, it was giving the NXT, the Full Sail crowd, enough sort of a showing of Kaylee Ray to be like, understand. I don't think it was quite enough to be like, well, she feels like a difference maker in the War Games match.
That's true. But I think it was more just there like, this is what she looks like.
Yeah.
This is her finisher.
this is what you should pop for.
Yeah, pay attention to the thing, the gory bomb.
Yes.
Which she just sort of hits from nowhere. Yeah, there's a bicycle kick. Kai looks for the GTK, but Ray drops out, gets a super kick, and then the gory bomb, and that is it.
It was a
pretty flat finish.
It's another loss for Dakota Kai.
Another loss for Dakota
furthering
Kai.
Furthering that storyline of her being the weak link and why she wasn't chosen for the War Games match.
Which could build into something on TakeOver Night. You know,
for sure.
I'm expecting some sort of Dakota Kai interference one way or the other in that mm-hmm. match. I'm not sure exactly what it does, so I'm hoping it hands Baszler the win.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Aces.
That's what I've predicted.
But then Carmella is on the apron. Just
all of a sudden.
Just
there's
nowhere,
a Carmella.
Doing a moonwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dana, Mandy, and Sonya arrive, and they all start attacking Kai and Kaylee Ray post-match.
If I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
they said that's Team SmackDown,
yeah,
I believe. Dana Brooke and Carmella beat Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose to get onto Team SmackDown.
Mm.
So did the losers also get onto Team SmackDown? In which case, what was the point of the match?
I think they did that, and then they looked at the rest of the roster. They then did their counting, and they were like,
God,
we don't have any women.
Those ones that just lost, put them on as well.
Yeah. So I'm guessing they're part of it. I don't know. It wasn't like this didn't get quite the response that some of the other returns did.
Well, maybe they're not. Maybe it's Sasha Banks, Nikki Cross, Dana Brooke, Carmella.
Yeah.
And someone else.
If you can name them, I'll put them in the match, Pete. The NXT women then run down to stop the beatdown. The Raw women also run down and start brawling. The whole thing just goes crazy. Kairi Sane just hops up on the turnbuckle and hits the insane elbow on Tegan Nox
because she can.
They've got enough room to do that. As she does that, she gets up and celebrates. It's awesome. And then she turns around and Io Shirai's just stood there looking at her like, dude.
Come on, man.
I liked this little moment.
I thought it was nice.
It was the right two talents, I think, mm-hmm. to pick to have this little face-off and
absolutely
this little moment. And also builds drama if you are going to put Io Shirai into Team NXT.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense to sort of build that little bit of tension here because I think
Sky Pirates,
something people are going to know and people are going to care about. And she's going to be like, you got a new Japanese friend.
Yeah. What
How
happened?
Dare you?
But we're all heels still.
I know a lot of your friends are Japanese, but I'm still hurt. I'm still hurt. They just call them friends over there, I guess.
Yeah.
But before any of that can take place, Sarah Logan attacks. Then Nikki Cross runs down with her bin lid and starts just whacking
hitting people.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Which was really fun. She destroys absolutely everyone, knocks them all out of the ring. Her music plays and she gets a big celebration with the NXT crowd, which mm-hmm. I thought was really nice.
I'm quite glad that Nikki Cross came down with a dustbin lid and just kind of beat up everyone, because I thought for a minute there they were actually suggesting that the Raw and SmackDown women could hang with the NXT women, and that's laughable because they're not as good.
Well, so in my head I was looking at this whole thing happening and I was like, so when's Sasha coming out then? And I was like, when's Sasha and Charlotte turning up?
Mm-hmm.
Take over War Games.
They did. Oh, I hope
they're
not.
The two that haven't been involved so far.
I hope not, just because I kind of want Take Over War Games to be its own thing and not really lead into Survivor Series.
I think there'll be like one thing on War Games that builds Survivor Series.
I think there might be, because we've only got four matches announced for the card right now, I think they're going to do a Survivor Series showcase match of some description on War Games itself. It'll be set up on the pre-show, and it will be some
two
sort of...
Two battle royals to pick the teams.
Oh, God, that would be awful.
I know.
I think so. Maybe there's some sort of Raw and SmackDown guys are there in the crowd watching, and then NXT guys go, you can't be here. And then it's like, oh, we're going to have a match. And it'll be Hawkins and Ryder versus the Forgotten Son. I don't know.
Woo.
Yeah. You know it, bro.
I like this. I think this moment was good. I actually think like even though I was sitting there going like, when Sasha Banks coming out, I actually think the non-inclusion of the really big female talents to have left NXT
mm-hmm.
here gave the people who recently left a bit more time to shine. They picked the right people, having Nikki Cross and Kairi Sane. I was going to say Candice LeRae again there.
Yeah,
having them get the little moment was great. We then got to see Dijak warming up backstage, Team Champa just having a watch of him.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was the Viking Raiders versus the Forgotten Sons. I thought this was going to be the squashiest of squashes, but it was not.
And it started that way, didn't mm-hmm. it? Because Viking Raiders just did their normal squashy stuff, and look, we're big and powerful, you can't do anything, here's a big splash, and wouldn't you know it, that's the end of the match. Oh, wait, no, he broke up the pin.
Yeah.
Oh,
That's surprising.
And that's when things turned around, because there was a blind tag and they did a flatliner with a drop kick to the back that I thought was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hansen comes in, runs wild. He does a crazy flip over the ropes onto the apron and then you go into the break. Coming back, Ivar's running wild, doing... So I've switched between calling them Hansen and Ivar.
Hansen and Rowe and Eric and
I'm going to call them Hansen and Rowe.
Okay.
Because that makes most sense in my brain.
Okay.
And I'm going to call them the War Raiders as
well. Okay. You do that.
Because it's the NXT show.
Okay.
And we will not bow
back to their NXT name.
The bollocks that the main roster makes us bow to.
Okay, let's do that.
So anyway, yeah, so Hansen's doing a bunch of stuff, and it's great.
Yes, he's fantastic.
There was a really fun moment towards the end of the match where... he was in there with Cutler. Swings at Cutler. Cutler does the cartwheel escape out of the way. Cutler swings back. Hansen does the cartwheel escape out of the way. Blake appears next to Cutler. And they all do the cartwheel past each other. Which I just thought was awesome. And then Hansen hits the big springboard double back elbow thing. It felt like the homecoming that I think the Viking Raiders, War Raiders, have been deserving. Because I their ascent to become Raw Tag Team Champions has involved none of the crazy stuff,
mm-hmm.
really, that they were known for doing on NXT. And I think NXT did a very good job of building them as monsters early and then transitioning them into we actually have longer form matches.
Yeah.
Where it seems like the other people might win at some point, which I don't think has been something that's been going on heavily on the main roster for them. They've just been going, oh, you, squash it.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, even if it is the Forgotten Sons, who may not be the best tag team in NXT history, I think they did a really good job of having Jackson Ryker get consistently involved in the match. He always turned the tides and he always gave him the control again. Till towards the end of the match when the referee did the whole "You're out of here" thing to Jackson Ryker, and he got mad and took his t-shirt off.
He got mad, took his t-shirt off, and then took a suicide dive from took Hansen, a suicide who dive was just Hansen, like, well,
it was great. There was
that's
a,
the best way to eject you.
Then we get this Death Valley driver on the apron.
Oh my God.
He nearly died.
I think he did.
Yeah. Because I think it was Cutler, I think, had...
Rowe,
yeah, I was going to say Eric. Yeah, that guy. And he got him up in a fireman's carry on the apron. You're like, oh, it's probably going to be a Death Valley driver to the apron. Mm-hmm. That's pretty gnarly. And then he went for it, but he kind of jumped off and threw him as well. So then he kind of missed, and most of his body missed it. But then part of it, like I think his head and neck and maybe his shoulder just connected with the apron.
It was nasty. I thought he had died.
Yeah.
He rolls him back in, and this is when all the suicide dive stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
Cutler rolled up Eric. He kicks out at two, like a really, really close two.
Mm-hmm.
But he just pops straight up and then just knees him in the face and goes, which is still my favorite move in all of wrestling.
So good. Just kneeing him in the face and just screaming at them afterwards because you can. Yeah. Just to assert dominance, it's perfect.
There was also the amazing moment where... they were going for a power bomb. Blake hit a Frankensteiner onto Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing So Rowe does a power bomb, and then Hansen jumps off and does something.
Yeah.
But Blake hits the Frankensteiner onto Hansen on the ropes, throwing him into Rowe and Cutler, knocking them all down. Yeah. It was bowling.
Yeah. It was perfect. It was like bowling strike.
Bowling for Vikings.
It was great.
It was a really, really good little match. And something I thought was going to be a squash, and something where I'm not like massively sold on the Forgotten Sons. I think they've had some very good matches, but usually with very good people.
Yes.
Fortunately, the War Raiders
are very good.
Very good people.
Yeah.
And therefore, this was a great match. And then they hit basically the Thor's hammer thing and got the 1-2. Who's Thor's hammer?
The Viking Experience, Laurie.
What?
That's the finisher.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Popping up.
Yeah.
Dubry.
That's the Viking Experience.
Is the Thor's
mate.
Hammer the other one with the sort of like.
I think so.
He
when
holds
they do
them
the...
like they're a tray bake and then swashes them. That one.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
I think
okay,
that's right. Yeah.
Fine. Sure. They hit the pop up one that was the
pop up slammy boy.
The longbow.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Mm. Sure. Whatever. We then get Kathy Kelly, who's on the little platform thing.
The crow's nest.
Yep.
That's what it's called now, the crow's nest.
Crow's nest. Okay. And she announces.
So she can announce when there's land.
Yes, that's it. Land ho. And she says that it's going to be the triple threat match.
That is very rude about Kathy Kelly, and you should take that. Apologise to Kathy Kelly.
She's an angel. She announces that the triple threat between Pete Dunne, Damian Priest, and Killian Dane, the winner will go on to face Adam Cole for the NXT Championship.
Which we already knew.
We did absolutely already know that. I think they just wanted to get Kathy Kelly on the show.
Yep. We then got an Adam Cole promo package that he said he's on this crazy run, and whoever wins this triple threat, he kind of feels sorry for them because he is definitely walking into Survivor Series as the champ, and he is also definitely walking out as the champ.
And guess what, Laurie? That's undisputed.
That's era. Then saw Cole warming up backstage. Everyone else was wearing towels, including Roderick Strong, who'd had a very hard time doing that one little spot that he did. Yep. We then got a War Games promo package that basically explained the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the point that I went, Team Ciampa still needs to find that final member of their team. Maybe this is where they decide that. Like, we're coming into this final segment. I thought you do this big... I was like, there's going to be a run-in.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's going to be a run-in. What's it going to be? And is that whoever's the final person for Team Ciampa?
I was thinking...
We got none of that resolution.
No, I was thinking even if there wasn't a run-in during the match, there would be afterwards. And we'd leave the show going, that's the fourth person. Awesome.
Yeah.
Nope. We still don't know.
I feel like it might be Seth Rollins now. Oh, God. We also got announcement or just a reiteration that Finn Balor's taking on Matt Riddle at War Games. Then we had Adam Cole versus Dominik Dijakovic in a ladder match to determine who gets advantage in the War Games match.
Yeah. I didn't start making notes on the very start of this match because I was way too into it, just to start with. The first note I've got is, there's so many ladders because at that point there were three in the ring. And that's a lot of ladders.
So I thought the commentators did a really good job saying early on that, like, again, we've had this promo package from Adam Cole saying, I'm on this crazy run right now.
Mm-hmm.
The commentator said, has anyone in WWE history had the month that Adam Cole has had across three separate brands?
That's true.
And then I think Beth was the one who added on top of that. It's like, never mind the last month he's had. What about this 1 week where he's been on, you know, he's on NXT tonight doing this match. He's got a War Games match and he's got to defend his title on Sunday.
Yeah.
Adam Cole is the hardest working man in WWE at this moment in time.
Totally.
And if he is not the next Shawn Michaels, that is a travesty.
Right.
Because he should be.
Absolutely, he should be. And this is another match that just proved that.
Yeah.
Because this is a short ladder match.
Yeah.
This is a pretty short match. This is only, what, 10 minutes maybe?
I think if they went any longer, Cole would be dead.
Yeah, I think so. But they still managed to get in some absurd spots.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty early on. There was a ladder leaning in the corner, and there was a ladder set up in the middle. They were not facing each other at all, but Dijak was like, I can make that. Grab Cole by the throat and just turned 90 degrees and slammed him into the ladder. Ow!
Yeah.
Ow! That really hurts.
There was a point where there was another point where they were trading, basically dragging each other off the top. and Cole manages to sort of gets put in the feast your eyes position. So Dijak's setting up for his finish.
Yep.
Cole manages to get hold of the ladder and he climbs up. And instead of going up, he turns around and then just hits Panama Sunrise from about halfway up this ladder.
Oh, man. Like, Dijak tries to pull him off and he just lands on his feet and just goes, I'm not done yet. Whee! And just goes straight over for the Panama Sunrise.
That was an amazing looking move.
It was great.
Dijak landed like he just jolted himself onto his bonds.
Yeah,
he just totally. And like shock stopped. And I think also they managed to do a really good job in this match of, apart from just doing really flashy, showy spots, which is what you expect from a ladder match, they did a good little bit of psychology in which Dijak's on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Cole super kicks him in the back of the knee,
yep,
which is his surgically repaired knee. Dijak stumbles off the ladder, falls down. Cole then starts wrapping it around the ring post. So we bake in the idea that Dijak's got an injury, which later on in the match, when Dijak hits Feast Your Eyes and does the big knee, which, you know, is his finisher.
Yep.
So you would assume at that point that buys him enough time to get up the ladder and get the briefcase. He hurts himself at the same time, and that gives everyone enough time to recover. I really liked the fact that, like, not only is it a 10-minute ladder match and you've managed to do ladder match spots, you've also managed to build in psychology and storyline It is not just a spot fest.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's working on multiple levels, man.
I know, yeah. It was so great. But then after he hits that feast your eyes, he starts getting back up and he starts climbing the ladder with one foot. He's holding onto a ladder that's set up as like a bridge between the central ladder and the corner. He's using that as a crutch and he's kind of hopping up this ladder on one leg. But he's taking so long to climb that Adam Cole gets back up, climbs up the other side of the ladder. They both get to the top and start trading a few blows. Then Adam Cole just bonk on the briefcase with the head. And Dijak sells this beautifully, like he's knocked out, and he just falls, and he just straight back, straight through a ladder that was there. Ugh. I thought he was expecting to bounce off it, and he didn't. The ladder broke, it and caved. He went through it.
Yeah.
And I think he was expecting, because it looked like his body, he was like, he hit, and it looked like he was ready to, like,
spring
back off it. And then he just kind of went, oh, I haven't moved. I'm dead now. That was a nasty
match. I thought this was quite a fun little twist on a finish for a ladder match, because normally it's like, oh, I'll chuck you up, I'll push you off and get up, or I'll hit a big move or something else. And I just think that sort of it sells the character, the Adam Cole character, that he's really crafty really well, to just be like, oh, I've got this though. Dunk.
Like, have this.
I just thought it was a really fun little finish. Obviously getting a clean win with the briefcase was really good. I think it's important with the Undisputed Era that they can't always just interfere in every single match. It does need to be, at some points, it does need to be, they are really talented and they are all deserving champions.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because otherwise it devalues NXT as a product now to be like, we've got the clean sweep because we cheated.
Yeah.
Like holding it, keeping it now by cheating is fine, I think, but every so often proving the point that you are, there is a reason you're the champions.
Exactly.
It's really important.
Yeah. And this was great. And Undisputed Era getting the advantage, heading into War Games now, which is cool. As Cole is celebrating, he's like, yeah, I've got that. And he gets down and he's got the title in one hand and the briefcase in the other. The commentary putting over, he won the ladder match to determine the first North American champion back at TakeOver New Orleans.
He's I'm good like, at ladders.
Oh, God. He's what like 2-2 in ladder matches. That's
it's
great.
Like a window cleaner. He's great
it's
at
ladders. Awesome.
And so then the rest of the Undisputed Era come down. They start to make their way down to the ring. But Team SmackDown just cuts them off. And then Team Raw comes in behind them. So the three members of the era are stuck between like 10 guys. Lovely. And where do the Street Profits are on Team Raw? And I felt this was the only moment in the show that I was like, this hasn't been mentioned or referenced, is the fact that the Street Profits, they just left.
Yeah.
There was no like just left. They had their rematch with the Undisputed Era on, was it the first? I think it was the first NXT. On USA.
On USA,
but
yeah.
Not the 2-hour one, the first 1-hour one.
So that was mid-September?
I can't remember. It was one of those. It was either the first one on USA or the first 2-hour one. They had that one match, and then they got their big ovation, and then they just went to Raw.
They got the Wale entrance.
But they only went to Raw like a month ago, really, a month and a half. And it's not really, they never really did like a proper like, goodbye guys, like, they're gone now.
Yeah.
No one's really mentioned them since. And now here they are wearing Raw t-shirts like, we're on Raw!
We so love Raw!
You were here.
Yeah.
And you wanted these like minutes ago.
Exactly, yeah.
But anyway, Undisputed Era tried to fight them off and it all breaks down. The NXT locker room empties. The ring is relatively clear at this point. Dijak's still down. Cole is hidden somewhere, seemingly. And Drew McIntyre slides into the ring. And he hits a claymore on Dijak that just turns the man inside out.
A great sell from Dijak, and a match I did not know I wanted to see until this moment.
Yep.
McIntyre versus Dijak. Yes, bloody please.
Oh, do you want to see another match? Because once that happens, Keith Lee slides into the ring to face off against Drew McIntyre. Another match I would love to see, but also a nice bit of symmetry, because Keith Lee and Dijak are setting their differences aside to be on Team Champa for War Games. So it's kind of poetic that Keith Lee would come to the rescue of Dijak here.
Exactly, yeah.
Great moment. Keith Lee hoists McIntyre into the air.
He just...
For ages!
And the thing is, McIntyre, they stare off for a little bit and the crowd get into the moment. McIntyre runs at Keith Lee and he just goes, oh, you're in a powerbomb position now.
Yeah.
It was just, whoop! And it's like, that's a big man! And he just popped him up like it was nothing. It was incredible.
And down.
And powerbomb, yeah. It was.
Which, another just like really fun little moment. So then everyone sort of, basically at this point, everyone's taken out. Hansen slides back into the ring. Him and Keith Lee have a momentary face-off of like, Well, I'm the new big flippy guy. You're the flippy guy.
We're big men. We do flippy stuff.
And then they look to the outside and see the gaggle of geeks all brawling. And they think,
effort.
So they both run to the ropes. Hansen does a suicide dive and Lee does a top rope.
Tope flip Conilo.
Over the top.
Yeah.
Taking out literally everyone.
Everybody.
And I thought this was a fun little callback. Maybe it wasn't necessarily designed as a callback. But so everyone's down now.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Cole is now the only person left standing, which, if you remember the War Games match where that happened, mm-hmm. he was sat on the thing and he did Adam Cole, baby.
And
he had that same sort of boyish glee of like, oh my God, I can't believe I survived all of this nonsense.
Yeah.
And he's like looking out the ring and he's celebrating, sort of generally lording it up. Seth Rollins slides into the ring.
Boo! People don't like Seth.
I don't know why. Like, with the Fiend thing, obviously. But
yeah.
Mostly.
He's also not good at Twitter.
He's not
doesn't
good at,
help.
He's not good at Twitter, and he was put into a bad position with the Fiend thing.
Yes. Yes, he was.
But, you know what? Props to the man.
Yeah.
Still comes out, though. This was, and, oh, yeah. And I was excited to see him in NXT.
Me too. Like, totally.
And I think it was weird to him. He got such a mixed reaction here because people were booing, but people were also like, this is the first champion.
Yeah, this first is NXT champion
the first
ever.
Ever NXT champion. This is the first time he's properly been back as well. Mm-hmm. Like, this is that is a really big deal in terms of NXT overall.
Yeah,
I think the potential for the guys in NXT to go forward in WWE, because Seth Rollins is, to all intents and purposes, WWE's chosen top guy.
Yeah, 100%. You
know, even more so, probably than Roman Reigns is now.
Like, right now, yeah.
He got booed, though, and the burn it down chance happened. I think he just super kicks Cole out of the ring.
He super kicks Cole, and then he is tuning up to go for a stomp.
He's going to burn it down stomps.
Which is when Ciampa's music hits. Another match I want to see. Yeah.
There was just, I think this is the thing, there's just so much in this show that was just like, here's a thing, and here's a thing. Did you know your toys could play in these combinations? It's like getting a Lego
Literally.
Set, basically, this episode of NXT.
Yeah.
Ciampa comes out, he comes down to the ring, him and Seth have a little stare off, people are chanting Seth's not cool. Seth sort of says to Ciampa, oh, these are your people now, these are your guys, this mm-hmm. is your thing. And then they start brawling, and that's when the show goes off the air.
There's also a nice little moment where Ciampa walks down the ramp.
Oh, yeah.
Before he gets in the ring, he just goes, oh, Adam Cole's there. Goes hits a knee on Adam Cole first.
A big running knee
strike. Big running knee onto Adam Cole, and then goes, all right, now I can get in the ring.
Yeah.
Goes up, takes his shirt off, and he's, as I said, they're standing off. Seth puts that. Soon as Seth moves, puts his arms out. Boo! Got anything he does.
Mm-hmm.
Turn him heel, man.
Man
go
can't
on.
Move.
I know. And then they start brawling, yeah. And the thing is, though, there isn't like a conclusive end to it. It was like, here's a forearm, here's a forearm, here's a knee, end of show. It was like, oh, well, I want more. Spot, I want more now. And it just kind of ended in the middle
of it.
I think
they ran out of time, realistically.
Yeah, I think they did.
I would have
well.
Loved to have seen the... I don't think the actual... the WWE has since released the clip of the finish of mm-hmm. what actually happened after NXT went off the air. And Rollins and Ciampa end up, I think, beating down the Undisputed Era. So Ciampa hits a fairy tale ending. Rollins mm-hmm. hits a big stomp.
Yeah.
They all get out of the ring. There's a moment where they're facing off again. And Ciampa just goes, well, get out of my ring. To Rollins, and Rollins goes, okay. And gets out.
Okay.
And then Ciampa's music plays, he gets to celebrate with the crowd. So it was like, and then Rollins is walking down the ramp, they're sort of staring at each other. So there's the feeling there that I'm kind of being pulled in two directions here. It's like, is Rollins the last guy for TakeOver?
Oh, for Team Ciampa?
For Team Ciampa.
Oof. Oof. That would not go down well with an NXT crowd.
You've got to call in the big guns, mate.
That would not go down well.
No, I wonder if it's like a debut or it's someone bigger. Or is Ciampa the captain of Team NXT and Rollins being the captain of Team Raw?
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense, that dynamic to be played off on.
Totally.
So, I don't know.
I think it's the latter.
I think it's most likely the latter.
I still don't know who the fourth person for War Games match is going to be. I've seen a lot of people say it's going to be John Morrison because he got signed back to WWE a while ago.
Mm.
Hasn't been seen anywhere since. So it could be some sort of surprise shock debut thing. I don't know if they want to do John Morrison.
Be main roster,
because,
surely.
Yeah.
Well,
one,
he's going to be Raw and SmackDown.
I don't know if he's going to be NXT. And also, you would have thought they'd have wanted someone who's a bit more established in NXT anyway. For that, or someone that the crowd will know.
Yeah, John Morrison could walk in the door on SmackDown and be Intercontinental Champion on his first night.
Absolutely.
It's not like you wouldn't put it past John Morrison to walk, or
Johnny SmackDown or whatever Johnny they're going to call him now.
Johnny WWE.
Johnny Fox.
well, Johnny Entertainment.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you wouldn't expect him to not, like, he could just walk out and just be like, I've beat Shinsuke now. I'm this champion.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Welcome back, me.
Yeah, totally.
I think this was a 5-star episode of NXT. The only match I wasn't really sold on was the Dakota Kai Kaylee Ray match. I still think it did a good job of, like you said, describing who Kaylee Ray was to an audience that might not necessarily know who she was. Everything else on this show was just high drama, and I really enjoyed it. And like, I've seen a lot of people say like they didn't like the fact that a lot of the matches sort of had no finishes and there was a lot of run-ins and stuff. I think that at this one time of year where it's like all bets are off, it's the Christmas of WWE where people can go wherever they like, do whatever they want, appear wherever. It sold that idea brilliantly to me that this is a actual fight for who is the best brand, and it is affecting the shows themselves because people can't quite contain their desperation to prove that they are the top dogs in WWE. So when Survivor Series comes around and gives you the rules and the format and it's, you know, never paid off on, that's the time to be disappointed. The time to be disappointed is the fact that, like, Raw can clean sweep Survivor Series last year and it basically disappears off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
That mention. Same on SmackDown. Like, if that's what happens this year and there is actually no repercussions for this, then that is bad.
Yeah.
But I think this build-up was good because I came out of this show excited for this weekend's worth of wrestling on all the pay-per-views.
As did I. And I think something that's very good on this show that WWE tend to struggle with is making a show feel chaotic. They often say it's chaotic, but they generally don't make it feel chaotic. And this felt very chaotic because you didn't know what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
And it was like, hard cut from this, here's the Viking Raiders having a brawl with Forgotten Sons. Hard cut from this thing. Oh, look, we've got more people running out in this match. And it was just peppered throughout the whole show. Mm. And there was a great quote from Mauro through it, just being like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know if we're safe, like sitting on this commentary table.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen. And I thought that was a really nice feeling. It was more about how this show felt throughout it than any one specific thing that made this show perfect.
I think,
and it was awesome.
Yeah, I think wrestling has a very signposted way of doing stuff, usually. Mm-hmm. And this lacked all the signposting. Like, beyond Becky Lynch walking out at the beginning, that was the only time where you were like, well, Becky Lynch is here, she's going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the time, it just felt like all bets were off and anything could happen. And that was a wonderful feeling to have watching a wrestling show.
Exactly right.
So, on NXT-related stuff, Kevin, who was super-chatted earlier, says, I can't wait to see Heel Balor's first match on NXT.
God, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I really am.
So excited for Heel Balor. Genuinely can't wait for that match. I'm so excited to see how he's changed up. Because he's changed up his entire, like, demeanor so far. I really want to say how that's affected his wrestling as well. So excited for that match. Can't wait.
Yeah, because he's doing a lot more of his old moveset as well now. Mm-hmm. He's expanded his arsenal. So I'm excited to see Finn, all bets off Finn Balor now.
Exactly, yeah.
Jobber JJ, Ollie Davis's number one fan, says, Baszler will be the only NXT winner, but I bet Vince will just add on Cole's win to give NXT another win, even though Cole's facing another NXT round.
That is actually a really good point.
That is such a Vince move.
Could do that, yeah. Adam Cole won at Survivor Series, guys.
You got two wins.
Yeah.
I do realistically think Baszler's the only one with a chance because Baszler can pin Bayley.
Yep.
And Ronda's going to interfere.
Or choke her out or whatever.
Ronda will interfere.
No.
Ronda's coming back.
No.
Ronda's coming back.
No. I've gone for no in Wrestle League anyway, so I don't want it to come back.
Well, I've gone for yes, so. Limp says, this was an invasion. Also, Drew's airtime wants me to see him sell a lumbar check. Oh, and pity on Kona Reeves, who got kicked out of relevance.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd like to see Drew sell anything because Drew is incredible and I love him so much. But yes, it was an amazing sale from Drew, that powerbomb.
Yep.
It was an amazing Claymore. It was a great sale from Dijak. I just want to see more of Drew McIntyre, if I'm honest.
I think Drew was someone who came out of NXT and I was like, he should be champion within his first year.
Absolutely.
And hasn't been
He wasn't.
He's, what, been
the Raw Tag Team Champs.
Yep, with Dolph Ziggler.
With Dolph Ziggler, and that was it. So, like, Drew, someone who could be a top guy with the right people against, like, to go against, but he's been stuck being, weirdly, being muscle for everyone else.
For everybody else.
Like, you need muscle, Bobby? I'll be your muscle. You need muscle, anyone else? Dolph, I'll be your muscle.
As soon as AJ Styles drops that US title and a face is holding that title, have Drew McIntyre just beat someone for it really convincingly. Just have him win a title, please. God.
Nuno Lorero says, you can really see that this first SmackDown invasion and the NXT invasion was booked by Triple H and the others were booked by Vince. Keep up the good work, guys.
100%.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
you definitely can. You can see that there was an attempt at story in those first two.
Yeah.
And everything else has been like, well, they run in. And I think I'm not saying that the story here was more complex than they run in necessarily. It was just the way in which the run in was pitched said more.
Exactly.
The who's in the ring at the same time, who's looking at who, who's doing what. All, I think every interaction had meaning here overall. Even in so far as like that interaction was just for the fans at Full Sail to go like, wow,
yeah,
that's amazing, you know? So I do think those two specifically, the SmackDown and this one, are the best examples of the invasion angle that's been playing out for Survivor Series so far.
Yep.
We've got Limps again, who says, this show in two words, organized chaos. That's
exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect.
Very well organized chaos. Michael Dominguez says, was Gargano supposed to be the leader, not Ciampa?
No, it was supposed to be Gargano versus Balor at the show.
Yeah.
And I think what they were going to do was have the mystery fourth person and have that be the reveal to be Dominik Dijakovic, who, you know, in a shock twist, sides with Keith Lee. And it's like, that's like maybe like your go-home angle or like the week before or something. And you have, oh my God, Dijak sided with Keith Lee. What's happening? That's crazy that he's a fourth member of Team Ciampa. Whoa. But because Gargano got injured, Riddle got taken out of the War Games match, he's facing Balor, and now they need another fourth for the match.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Michael Dominguez, I think, has been hit now by autocorrect. It says, I love Darby's Candace, then Cole upped it off ladder.
I don't even know what it's supposed to be.
No. I think
I love
Panama Sunrise.
Ooh,
Panama. You've got to get. You've got to guess what a computer was thinking. You were.
That's autocorrected all three words though of yeah. Panama Sun and Rise.
Yeah, I think that's
maybe.
Possible.
Possibly.
That might be it. Maybe it's about Panama Sunrise.
Who knows?
That was a very good spot.
It was a great move.
I think there was a lot of really good stuff in that match.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Cooley says, I had ROH vibes when I saw Lee and Hansen stare off. Lee and Shane Taylor had a great tag feud with the Raiders in 2016, I believe. Lee and Dijak would be a nice substitute for a random tag match.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Lee and Dijak would be amazing. And yeah, there's big ROH vibes from the vast majority of the show.
Big shout out to Shane Taylor as well, who's killing it.
He's awesome, and I love
Shane
him.
Taylor. Yeah, I would love to see. We were talking earlier about who would be in the title picture, because NXT's got kind of a sparse tag division now. Like
totally, yeah.
It's Undisputed Era and the Forgotten Sons, and I can't see the Forgotten Sons winning the belts.
No.
So Lee and Dijak teaming up, or Lee and Riddle, more likely.
Mm-hmm.
But some combination of those, one of those teams, I think, is probably next in line for a big tag title push.
Yep.
And you can build that coming out of War Games, which is brilliant. On WrestleTalk-related stuff, Clifford Miller says, Pete, you have to give a countdown before you go into spoiler territory. Hashtag super heel chopper.
I did. Well, I didn't do a... I literally said on the news video today, I said, hey, there's AEW spoilers coming up. If you want to hear about NXT and not AEW, click the timestamps in the video description below. Here's your final warning. There's AEW spoilers coming. And then went on to the AEW spoilers. And with NXT spoilers, I said, hey, we're moving on to NXT spoilers now. So if you don't want NXT spoilers, now's the time to click away. So I would have thought that was enough time to, you know,
click away.
To click away. And also, the first thing I said in the NXT thing was, this was the go-home show for TakeOver War Games and Survivor Series. That's an extra sentence, which is enough time for you to click away, really. So
people have probably clicked away now, Pete.
Yeah, totally.
Our final super chat for the show is from Rocky Balboa, who just says, hey, Pete and Laurie.
Howdy.
Hi.
Hi.
And also bye, because that is all we have time for on this WrestleTalk Live review of NXT.
The very best.
No one ever was. To catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause. I would travel across the land, searching far and wide. It's Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Pokemon, gotta catch 'em, it's you and me. I know it's my destiny. Pokemon, oh, you're my best friend in a world we must defend. Pokemon, gotta catch 'em, my heart's so true. Our courage will pull us through. You teach me and I'll teach you. What do you think of Pokemon, Pete?
I was going to make the joke that you got on your own there, but Luke started joining in, so...
There you are, see? You can't help it. People love Pokemon. I'm sorry for putting you all through that. I didn't have a way in beyond asking the question.
So, Pokemon?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, it's awesome. I love it so much. It's genuinely one of my favorite games, like, ever now.
Yeah,
it,
there you go.
Genuinely, I think it's rivaling my love for my favorite Pokemon game. My favorite Pokemon game, weirdly, is actually not a main series game. It's Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Explorers of Sky, which is incredible and I love it. But this is genuinely rivaling my love for that. This game is so good.
I mean, it's one of those things. I think there's been so much like backlash about the game in general that I think is a bit misplaced. I think it is a very good test run for like what a Switch game could be.
Yes.
And I understand that I don't think Game Freak are world's most amazing developers. I think the Pokemon games have actually always been a little bit behind the curve in terms of what was it ever capable on the technology they've been on.
Yeah.
And this is just another example of the game being slightly behind the curve. But I feel like the wild area in Sword and Shield demonstrates to you what Pokemon could be going forward.
Yes.
And clearly this game, there's a little bit where it's like some of the rest of the game is a little bit disappointing because the wild area is so good.
Yep.
So I'd love to see them work on a sort of, I don't know, I've said this to you a couple of times this week, like if someone could just mod Breath of the Wild's map to have Pokemon in it, like in the wild area, but you could do all the things that Link can do in terms of like climbing and traversing, that would be like one of my favorite games ever. Like, if that was just what it was and you just wandered around going to different towns, meeting different Pokemon on the way, that would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
But I think overall it's a really, really fun advancement of the series as well. Like I spent so long, I must have spent 8 hours when I started playing the game, just going around the wild area doing raid battles. So I'm hideously overleveled.
Yes.
I'm walking into gyms and just being like, what have you got, a whole team? Here's my one Pokemon. dead.
We had that yesterday because I've been doing on the streams and generally during daytime, because I've been playing Pokemon on my lunch breaks as well. That's just been a wild area. I mean, going and catching stuff and doing raids and all the fun stuff. And then at night, my lady partner and I will continue the story together so we don't spoil ourselves, and we'll play kind of through the story at the same time together. And because my lady partner has a bit more time than I do, we're going to a gym that has like level 40 Pokemon. She's like, here's my level 64 Galarian Rapidash. It's like, it will kill everything.
with a look.
Yeah. Whereas I'm like,
Slay Queen.
I've done my fair share of wild area, but I'm not that bad. I'm only level 50. But yeah, I've never been one really. I think I've actually completed 2 Pokedexes ever in the history of Pokemon. Generally, I'm just like, I'll play through the story, catch some cool teams, and then I'll play it again. And then I'll go through the whole story and catch more teams and use different Pokemon. This game, I'm like, I have to catch everything. It's so addictive. For whatever reason, it is so addictive to want to fill out your Pokedex, which I guess is the point of the game. What it should have always been.
I think there's a lot of positives in the game. I think there's a lot, like, the negatives of, like, you can't have all the Pokemon. And they're like, you know, it was more fool them for having said that, like, making a big point of it when they did Pokemon Home in the first place of being like, you can bring them all, Pokemon Box and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you can bring them all forward, and then not doing that.
Yes.
Fine. That all makes sense to be like, be cross about that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it actually hold back the game at all anyway. Because the first year of competition, actual competitive esports Pokemon is always limited to things that are only from that game and not traded over anyway, because they don't normally turn that on for a while. I think, generally speaking, the game, like you said, drives you to want to catch the new Pokemon.
Yep.
Because they look great. I think the graphics are awesome in this game.
Yep.
I think like everything looks neater and nicer and really pops off the screen. I think the world is interesting to explore. And I think exploring definitely is sort of the main thrust of this game's story as well. Like, rather than, say, Sun and Moon, where it was all about, like, Ultra Beasts and mysteries. Same with, like, and that was basically a copy-paste of X and Y's. It's about Mega Evolutions.
Yeah.
And they just did that with Z-moves again in Sun and Moon. And this game, while having Dynamaxing as part of it, that seems sort of inconsequential. There was a lot of weird, and it is, they kind of written around it slightly weirdly. There's a lot of stuff that's happening, and then Leon or Sonya turn up, and they go, we'll deal with that. You just concentrate on the gym challenge.
Because that's what's important.
That's the most important thing, not the fact that the power plant might be blowing up, as far as we know. It is ridiculous. But like, maybe the game should just be, there's less of a central mystery and a bit more of a, this really is just the focus. You do actually just want to be the very best.
And genuinely,
not like Ash, who just wants to be mates with Pokemon.
Exactly, yeah. I genuinely think the way they've handled the gym challenge in this game is really, really good, in that it's pretty well explained who the gym leaders are, why they're gym leaders, what order they're in, because they've all battled between each other and they've seen who's the strongest, therefore that's the order of the gym leaders. That you've got the champion, who's very well established, has not been beaten, and they say, hey, it's a big deal. You want to do the gym challenge? You do that. It's a seasonal thing, and it starts now, rather than just like, oh, you know, 24-7. If you want to go challenge the gym, you go do that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you've got to sign up for this competition to go do the gyms. I much prefer that story of it. It makes so much more sense for the Pokemon's game to ever be like, here's all the gym challenges, and they slowly start weeding out because they can't hack it and they can't beat the second and third gym leader, so then they stop doing the challenge. I think that's perfect. I think that's a great story.
I think, yeah, so in summary, I think Pokemon Sword and Shield got a bad rap, and I can see why, but I don't actually think it matters. I think
not at all.
Like you were telling me earlier, it's now the best-selling Switch game of all time, having sold 6 million units in less than a week now.
Yeah, so it's it's the best opening.
Best
opening for a Switch game thus far.
So it sold 6 million on the opening
week.
Week.
Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah, because that'd be today, wouldn't it, I guess. Yeah, so, Jesus.
Which beat Smash Bros. Ultimate, which got 5 million in the first week.
And Smash Bros. Ultimate also had the luxury of being pretty much the only game that Nintendo released last year. They built up to Smash Bros. Ultimate releasing for 4 months.
It was a long time.
Whereas Pokemon has come out just after Luigi's Mansion, just after something else, just after there's been a bunch of stuff come out this year. Fire Emblem as well, all these huge games. So, yeah, and it's come out against a much more stacked Switch library to compete with. So 6 million units is amazing. I know people have bought Switches for it.
Yeah.
This week, so.
Exactly. Yeah. I know I've got a very good friend who doesn't have a Switch, and he is lamenting that fact right now. He's like, I'm genuinely considering buying a Switch to play this game.
Get it.
Because, man, what a game.
Want that Galarian Farfetch'd with his wicked sweet little top knot and his massive leak. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the WrestleTalk podcast. There will be Ollie and Luke will be doing the AEW one today as well. So if you haven't already heard that, go and listen to that. Watch AEW first, obviously, because they're going to spoil the hell out of it. Then we are back. You're back.
Me and Dave are doing SmackDown.
For SmackDown. There'll also be...
Oh, there's a Friday show too, which is me and Ollie.
Friday show with you and Ollie, because no one else is here.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, we've got live streams of NXT TakeOver War Games. We've got live streams of Survivor Series. There'll be podcast versions of the reviews of them as well. So there is so much wrestling content to tide you through until Raw next week as well. So thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.